What do you sell them for?
10 cents.
Donation.
So the farm worker never, if you ask for a donation, you're never going to get 10 cents from the workers. So the farm worker, you sell it for 10 cents to them. You sell it for, you know, a donation to the other people. Don't sell it a donation to the farm worker because they give you 8 cents.
Well, 10 cents donation.
What can you do, like the cash?
Maybe the lettuce worker, they give you a quarter. Now they come with the bread quarters here, they give you 7 cents.
What do you do, like the cash?
Let it down your own people, man.
What do you do, like the cash, when somebody, you know, takes a bundle and then, like, they'll just buy about four, and then, you know, so that everybody can repay. Not everyone will buy one. They'll just have a few guys buy them, and then they'll just pass it down.
You know what? Let me tell you what happened at the office one time. At the office, you know, like guys were buying the maquero, and you see somebody else looking over. And I went over and I told the guy, I said, you know what? Why don't you put the maquero away so that this guy can buy another maquero? I said, because he's bringing your maquero, he just paid for it.
I did.
That's right, no, because you're not selling it. You know, that guy will just wait until the guy finished reading most of the important parts and say, let me buy your maquero, you know. And he'll just read most of the important parts also, because the back end, let's sell it.
Another thing that I would like to request of the Marcello is, Ann Fotel, a lot of good articles on...
Who does?
Ann McGregor. A lot of good articles on subjects for the service center, workers' comp, Social Security and all this. And in the beginning, we were getting the same translation. We would get it in English, we'd get it in Spanish. And recently, we haven't. I find a good article in the English edition, and then I go look in the Spanish, and they don't have it.
They don't have anything?
Not that same article.
Well, in English, they have
French
community.
They don't have a translation.
Maybe it's left out or something.
They said that was an oversight.
Oh.
I think most.
So how many oversights have they made?
You will send the Robert.
But we need to have that information in Spanish first, the same as we do in English.
Yeah. Well, for some reason or other, that there's been that. Well, not only the now, but that newspaper's been a bugaboo, I think, ever since it first came out. Something goes wrong. I mean, there's something about the. Oh, I don't know. I shouldn't say this. Something happens.
See, but one of the things that we have brought out on the you tell the people who help you, the screen them on the you know, well, you call up and say, okay, we get it by Thursday, 6 o'clock, I mean, we deliver by Friday, 8 o'clock, we'll be at your office, which I'm the closest, you know, about. Mm-hmm. Okay, then they call back again, you know, well, then we tell our people, okay, come Friday night, Jimmy, we're going to have the macchiato here. Then they call us, you know, well, you know what, it's not going to be here. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be here until Saturday. So we tell our people, well, it's going to be here Saturday. Then they call us back again, well, it's not going to be here until Monday because something went wrong there, I mean, they just bring the home. Picture, you know,
well,
and then what happened is that we profited for the people and we began to die their lives.
Yeah, you know what I would do? I wouldn't depend on the Malfriata. I'd get my own Malfriata.
Exactly. So far as I'm concerned, the service center should have their own newsletter.
Exactly. Every one of them.
No, the suggestion is good. Because, you know, to do that, we need the money.
Well, you're going to get the money. You're going to get the money.
See, we can handle the money.
I know they can make their job.
No, we can handle the money, but you know that we cannot spend that money.
You can't what?
We can't spend that money.
Well, no, but I mean, what she's talking about, I think, is hustling paper.
Unions will give you paper later.
In churches. No.
No,
you know what this is going to do? As soon as the word gets back and it can get back before you leave the grounds this time to the Macriato, that you're just not going to depend on the Macriato anymore. You're going to get out your own Macriato.
That's what I think.
Let them know right here.
Robert.
And when word begins to get back and sink in enough, why, I think maybe it might help.
Well, Caesar makes all the decisions for the Macriato.
Well, but
he approves all the printing, he approves all the stories that go on, yeah.
Well, that would be a violation of the Constitution.
That doesn't.
Fred, what's most important, what we found out in every area, you know, is that there is no real, like, newsletter to the key contact people that you're going out to every meeting
right.
And keeping contact with them. You know, I went to Santa Rosa and, you know, lists were passed on and I said, Is there a meeting going out to all these people?
Right.
And then I go into the community and say, hey, Al, you're the new representative? Yeah, well, what's going on in the union?
Yeah.
And here's a damn good, you know, supporter. Here's a guy that gives food or gives money or he's going to give something.
Yeah.
And yet we haven't had contact with him. But yet, we get information from the boycott, from the boss. We get these little, this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get that information.
Right.
We don't put that information together in a small little piece of paper and mail it out.
Exactly.
This is what's happening.
And
then in the bottom, there's going to be a meeting at so-and-so place or some activity.
You can yeah. That's right, and you can make
what I'm saying.
And you can put extra, make extra.
No mailing.
Whoa, wait. And you can also make extra copies and
that's
give
right.
out at your meetings. And
right.
What are you
going to
get the
stamps
from?
Listen, shit. Come on. Just hand them out at the office, man.
We have no mail.
You see, let me give you an example.
That's a poor excuse, and you don't have any staff.
Right. Let me give you an example.
The people,
when I when we first began organizing here against the Giorgio in 1966, we had the Macriato. That was the old time Macriato, a little thing like that. Remember? And we were having problems with the people putting out Macriato then. And so, we just said we're going to put out our own Macriato, right next door to the Macriato office. We put out our own Macriato. Only we call it a mosquito zumbador. And we put it out every morning, and the pickets took it out and gave it to the workers. As I told you, you know, those rolled up things, threw it in trucks, and then there was one for every worker in each truck and so forth. And we didn't have to worry about the Macriato. It came out if it didn't have the right stuff in it. Ours had the right stuff in it. And I think you ought to do the same thing and let everybody know here that you're, from now on you're getting out your own Macriato.
You did that in Selma this summer. I was there. Remember who was up there? Larry Nova. What was his name?
Larry?
Lava.
Oh, Lava.
Yeah, he got out a newsletter every week for the strike.
Yeah, but at that time, I mean, it wasn't, there's some reason that we can't move. You know, I mean, if they would have just turn it loose and said, okay, you know, just go ahead and do it, I mean, and, you know, hassle, you know, the money and this and that. I mean, that time, I mean, they would have given us that chance, you know, to hassle the money. We kept the money there. Now,
you don't have to
they got
you can, I used to put a newsletter when I first came to work at Gallo. I had a picture of a rooster on it. I got it from Foster Chicken. and it didn't cost nothing. You have any stencils in your? I hustled some stencils from somebody. And I got some paper from GSEP and their machine from
GSEP.
I did. And then they did all of it. It didn't cost one penny except the gas.
Do any of you have a Gestetner?
No.
Huh? You have a Gestetner? I have a lot of stuff in the back of the car you can use. Reams and reams
yeah,
of stencils.
Oh, fantastic.
Pardon?
I want to get
to
see if David is there and all the students are really good for that.
Yeah.
We had one going on.
The diocese, man. They got people.
We could use it because the boycotters do our leaflets for us because they're closest to all the agencies. The agencies let us do our leaflets there if we bring our own paper.
Oh, good.
See?
I don't have any paper, but I have the leaflets.
No, I mean, to make the.
Okay. Well, you see, the reason that maybe you're going to do it, maybe you aren't, but if there's ever a time when they need the Macriato out there, now is the time. There's a brand new program going out, and we want to get out news about this new campaign that's going on. And if the old business about it, if Mohammed won't come to the mountain's got to go to Mohammed, and we'll just have to put it out ourselves.
Fred, David Alcott on El Macriato asked Caesar if a Macriato, the next edition, could write up the Poor People's Campaign. And he said, not yet. So I don't know if he wants to give a press conference first about it or...
No, well, but regardless of whether write it up under the name of the Poor People's Campaign, we're going to go into a big organizing drive, and I don't think Caesar's against letting people know that we're going to go into an organizing drive. Right?
Right.
Like in our office, we have no contracts there, but people from there go work in San Luis, or they go work in Calexico and those areas, and they come into our office to ask us if the strike's still going on, or how's everything going with strike? We have no news, we don't know anything else.
Yeah.
So if we had the McAllister, could you send them to McAllister and say, well, you read about it?
Right. Okay, well, listen, we better get going on the simulated house meetings.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we were talking about in the house meetings to leave the questions and everything to the end. But
not to the end. To the end of each section. See, there's four different sections, so they get four different shots at asking you questions.
Yeah, to the. So I was thinking about, but the service center thing, I mean, when you're talking about an organization for poor people, you want a lot of the response, you know? And after, you know, like after you give a pitch for telling about an organization and about the goodies that we can offer and about the broad issues, you know, you just got to get into, seems to me like right there you got to get into a good discussion with people about what their problems are and what they need. And then you have to pull the meeting back together and you hit them again with another punch before you go on to all this selling stuff.
Exactly. But you see, you'll have three different discussions before you go into the selling stuff.
In the service center, just
well, you just have we'll just have one.
One.
Right.
I mean.
So that's okay, because see, what you're doing, you're having a discussion, and well, you could actually have two, if you want to.
You need two.
Well, not necessarily if you do a good enough job of selling, because they're going to bring their questions out anyway. You know, as soon as you start talking about the various services that or the plans for the overall the broad issues and so forth, that might be a good time right there to have a second discussion period, because that'll remind them of their own issues, and so that would probably be a good idea to have it right then. That would be, say, the second discussion.
And the first discussion would be after the first one.
Yeah, the first discussion wouldn't last very long, probably, because it would... Well, it might, because you've been telling them about the various legislative programs and the idea of how the service center first got started. And some of them might have some questions about that, and that might alert them to, or stimulate them to ask some more questions. But I think most of the questions would come after you've already told them about the various services that you have to offer at the service center. And then go ahead and have another discussion period before you go into the hustle, because it paves the way for the hustle.
We talked about, you know, how long the meeting should go.
Mm-hmm. About an hour and a half.
An hour and a half? No more than that.
Well, if they want to, sure. But I think...
You shouldn't drag it on.
No, you shouldn't. No, but if they want to drag it on, why, you know, that's what you're there for. Okay. Then what we want to do is to have the people in the service center stay here, and the others go in the back room. And wait a minute, before you go, so it'll be more like our regular house meeting. We'll want to have about, we'll move this thing back and have about four people up here, or say at the side here, so you can sort of see them, but then the person that's holding the house meeting can be sitting right here. Say about four chairs right in here, and the person holding the house meeting, or right, maybe the four chairs should start about there, so you can see her face or his face. And it'll make it more realistic than for that person to talk to all of you as though you're all in a house meeting. By the way, another thing is that if you do get a sort of a mob scene at a house meeting, don't just sit there. Don't sit while you're giving. Stand up. Well, it's a mass, sort of a mini mass meeting then, you know. And you, in order to keep control of a larger meeting, you've got to stand up and be right at the driver's wheel. Whereas if you're sitting down, it's easy, as somebody said, for somebody to take the meeting over. But if you get anywhere from 8 to 10 to 15, anything over 8 people at a house meeting, I'd stand up during the whole thing.
That's not doing whatever you're supposed to do.
People who are having a hard time, and Cesar Chavez is the one that wanted to start it. And it's, do you guys know about, you know who Cesar Chavez is and how, about the union? You know about that? Okay, well, it's not a new idea. Cesar used to work for an organization called CSO. And do you guys know what CSO is? Okay, well, it's the initial stamp for the Community Service Organization. And it was an organization that was very active back in the 50s, and it helped poor people all throughout the valley. And what they wanted, what Cesar wanted to do, Dolores Huerta was in it too, and they wanted to get legislation passed that would help poor people, because most of the time, you know, the laws are in the favor of the rich and the young. And so they discovered that they couldn't get any laws passed unless they could pressure the politicians to vote. And so they registered for over 500,000 people to vote. And with this power, they were able to force politicians to pass laws. Thank you. They were able to get the politicians to pass laws in favor of poor people. And the first law that they passed when they actually had all these 500,000 people registered was a law which gave state pension to old people who weren't citizens. And another law which they got passed was a law which gave disability insurance to farm workers. And Cesar was very interested in the farm workers, and CSO hadn't done too much for farm workers. And so he tried to encourage the people in CSO to really organize them, get in and help the farm workers. But they didn't want to go into that area. And so Cesar was the director, and he had a very high-paying job, but he resigned because he wanted to help the farm workers. And so it was really hard for him. He and his wife, Helen, and their 8 kids, they moved from Los Angeles to Delano, and they started trying to organize farm workers, and they had little meetings with small groups of people just like us, and that's how he talked to me about the union and things like that. And sometimes he would go a whole day without even eating, because not because he wanted to fast, just because he didn't have enough money for food. But then Dolores Huerta became involved in it too, and they built up a strong base in the valley. And then in 1965 there was the grape strike. You guys heard about the grape strike. You probably remember that. And they had some victories in the grape strike. Like they got a contract with the Schenley Company and Ms. Gallo. But the growers had a lot of ways of breaking the strike. Like they would bring in illegals to strike break, and they would get injunctions. Most of the time they're illegal injunctions because they control the judges. And there were just lots of ways you could break the strike. And so Cesar took the battle out of the field. He took it to the housewife, to the consumer, and that's when the Great Boycott started. That was in 1968, and you guys remember the Great Boycott. And so then the Great Boycott was successful, and in 1970 they got contracts with all the grape growers. But the thing is, with the contract, that the workers, they were they had benefits like a health plan, and they had a job security. They couldn't be fired. Just like the women, the grower, they had a hiring call. There couldn't be discrimination because you were a Mexican or because you were a Filipino or something like that, as opposed to being an Anglo. And there were better working conditions in the field. But, and also the workers just had more control over their own lives. But the growers really, they couldn't stand that they weren't controlling the workers anymore. So they turned to the Teamsters. And it's just barely after the Great Contest had been signed, the lettuce growers in Salinas, they signed with the Teamsters, and they didn't ask the workers if they wanted the Teamsters union at all. And so the workers were angry, and they went on strike. 7,000 workers were on strike. And then in 1973, when the grape contract and the Gallo contract came up for renewal, the grape growers and Gallo did the same thing, signed the Teamsters without consulting the workers, and those workers went on strike also. But just like before, the growers had many ways of breaking strikes, and so the union turned to the boycott. And now there's a boycott again. Grapes, lettuce, and Gallo. And we're winning. And Gallo looks like it's going to be the first one to fall. So now that Cesar and the union are finally winning the battle in the field, Cesar wants to go back to the idea he had before with CSO about helping poor people, not just farm workers, but other poor people, like older folks that are having a hard time. That, you know how it is with older folks, most of the time people, they just sort of ignore them, they push them off the side, they don't move fast enough anymore. Kind of get in the way and nobody really cares about them. So, do you guys have any questions about any of the stuff I've been talking about? About the CSL, or about the union history or anything?
How would this affect us in, you know, right away or a long time from now? How will this come about?
Well,
will it help us with our Social Security or?
Oh, yes. Yes, we have many services that we can provide. One of the things that the CSO offered to the people was a service center where people could come in and they could get help with their Social Security checks or with welfare or Medi-Cal or any sort of problem that they had, they could get help with it. And the thing is, the union has service centers now. But with this new organization that Caesar wants to start, he's gonna now the service centers aren't just for farm workers anymore. They're for everybody. They're for people like you. You can come into the service center. You have a problem with Social Security, we can help you with it. And we've already helped some older people with problems with Social Security.
How was the CSO organized? How were they able to help you?
Well, they organized pretty much the way the union organized, by talking to people in small groups and getting them to help, getting them to work. And they started service centers and communities, and people were what made it go. Okay.
Very interesting. It's a long history, and it just doesn't seem like. I mean, I don't see how Caesar could really help us.
Well, do you have any? Do you ever have any problems like this?
But as a matter of fact, I don't remember that after I talked to him on the telephone the other day, I went into your office and we did work on the Social Security problem with my husband. And you did help me fill out an application. We talked to the Social Security people. It was fun. We had a nice trip down to the Social Security office, and she was very friendly to the man over there, and she seemed to understand everything he was saying. And maybe something will come out of it, actually. But that was just me. It's just one person. I mean, you can't go helping everybody like that. There's a whole lot of people in this big city of Woodville, and I mean, I know there must be at least 30 people and old people in this town. You can't go helping.
Probably a lot more than 30. Well, it's not just going to be me that's helping. If I was going to try to do all this work all by myself, I'd fail. I couldn't do it. It's the people have to help themselves. Like, if we all work with each other, then we can do it. That's just like with when they were trying to get those laws passed, the CSO, when Dolores and Caesar were working with CSO, they couldn't do it just by going and talking to the legislators. They had to get all the people that it was going, the poor people that it was going to affect, they had to get them to register, and they had to get them to put their power to work, to pressure the politician. It can't be just one person. It has to be the people themselves pushing. So, if we work together, then we can all do it, but just one person, not going to work. Well, if there aren't any more questions, I guess we could go into, I could tell you about some of the services that the union can give you. Any
problem?
Okay.
Excellent.
Very
good.
I'm not
drawing
my hand real quick.
I know.
I'm having no trouble. Actually, she jumped over into part two.
Yeah.
And those questions weren't fair, really, because she hadn't been given a chance to lead up to them. Except, some of them were. When you brought it out, they brought it out of you. When they talked about what can you really do for us, and then you got around to the development of the voting power, mm-hmm. and and that has got, that definitely has to be brought in. Maybe I didn't hit it hard enough when I, because that is, she went to get some water. That has to be brought in because that is the hope riser, raiser. In other words, that's what did it in the old days when the CSO was organizing. They hadn't gone out and registered all of the 500,000 or more voters. They would have never gotten the help that they got from the legislatures and Phil Burton or anybody else up in Sacramento to get those laws passed, you see. It took all that time. You can trace the development of that power in terms of the selling of the legislators themselves. Year after year, we were able to get more people under control who agreed to vote for this kind of legislation, but we still didn't have enough of them to pass the bill. Well, finally, after we got all those people registered to vote and out to vote, we were able to get it passed. So that paves the way for the number two person that comes after you. And that third person begins to talk about these broader issues, like some legislation to provide transportation stamps, or legislation to provide more Social Security, or more SSI, or more this, or more that, and a better hospital plan, and housing for the elderly, or for the older people, or whatever. Then they can see, you can remind, that number two can remind them again, you know, well, that's what we've got to continue doing. We're continuing on with this program that Caesar began back there in the old days. And part of that program, remember, part of that program was registering voters and building political power that we can use against the people up in Sacramento and back in Washington. Okay. Then it begins to make sense, because she was bringing out a very real worry on the part of the people. Well, you know, what can you really do to help us? You know, there's too many of us. Well, that's true. But legislation can do it. That can take in everybody as long as we make sure it's put into effect. Okay. And the other thing was, no. Yes, it would have been good if you had mentioned the service center program in the CSO in addition to the legislative program. Those two programs.
She mentioned that in response to a question.
I know she did, but it should have been mentioned ahead of time during that first part, because it carries over, you see, into the second part. When Caesar, one of the first programs that he instituted was the service center program, when he was organizing the union.
And that whole speech we were doing, I couldn't see anything that really related to us. I mean, when you're talking, you have to continue relating to the powers of the people you're talking to. It was just all too far away, I think.
Well, hers was the first part.
Still, I mean, it was the early history, but still during that time, you have to relate, I think, you still have to be relating to people you're talking to. You know that they're old, and you know that they're not primary.
I could feel that, because when I asked her questions, everybody just sat there, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, wow, you know, it was like a history class or something, you know. So I could feel that they really hadn't, the link hadn't been made between it, you know.
But if you did say something that they should have picked up on if you'd have emphasized it more. See, they won legislation for older people. Mm-hmm. Nobody else had ever done that before. No other organization had ever gotten a law passed to pour millions and millions and millions of dollars into the hands of the old-time ancianos. I mean, of the older Spanish-speaking people. And here's another group of people, of older people, you see. And so right away you think, well, my God, if the CSO did it for you got pensions, well, maybe the union, with the help of our help and everybody, can get a law passed to make our pensions bigger, you know. That it would start the lights going on. And then when you start talking about the service center, you mentioned that, just throw in a few problems, and you did. You remember, she mentioned some problems that you should have latched onto. She talked about Social Security, and that should have interested you. But she mentioned only Social Security, you know, if you could have just mentioned a couple of other things to get their interest. But you certainly hit all, you hit practically all the other bases very well.
Okay.
Aloha High Point.
Yeah.
Oh, the thing I noticed was that passing around the sheet, you know? I mean, she started writing to a talk to us, and we were still deciding the sheet, and we couldn't get into what she was listening to. She asked a question, and I was trying to remember what my address was.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, well, probably you would have been a little more careful about that if it was a real house meeting.
Yeah.
Just one thing.
Sure.
No. And I'm sure it's just because you're talking about friends here, but you refer to people all the time as guys.
Yeah, I know. I know. I knew that when I was doing it.
Yeah. It's a natural thing to do.
I thought she made the transition very nicely there between the CSO legislation on the disability insurance of farm workers and then Caesar's interest in farm workers, which brought about his resignation in the CSO and going out to work with the farm workers. That's a nice transition to make from the legislation program of the CSO on farm workers to the factory. That's as far as they go. That was the end of the line for CSO, so Caesar got off the bus and went over to New Alley and started organizing. And, oh, and don't laugh. Some of us had a little problem there when we're talking about something very sad and serious, of sort of controlling our grief and sadness by laughing or, you know, sort of giggling or something. Don't laugh when you talk about hunger or the fast, because that's, it's not the time. It's very, very serious. One other thing, you talked. I thought you covered very well in a nutshell the problems of the people, the problems of the farm workers without contracts, when they're working without contracts. When you get to the contracts themselves, the victory in 1970, if you show the difference quickly in a nutshell between the way things were in the past and the way things were for the workers after they got the contracts. Because you talked about the degradation of workers very well and so forth, no control of their own lives and so on. Before they got the contract, then show the difference, show the contrast after they got the contracts. Changing conditions.
How did we do time wise? Was that?
About 10 minutes.
Was it about 10 minutes?
I think also when you're doing that, you should be using Gallo.
Yes, that's
the
other thing.
Because there was only one mention of Gallo, which was about the contracts.
And that's my fault, I think, probably because I stressed the Gallo so much more in connection with the outline of the house meeting, which the office people are using back there, which the field office people are using. But we do want to, when we talk about the bad conditions of the workers before the contract, everything you said was fine. Just link it with Gallo. Just say, for instance, at Gallo they had this and they had that and they had that, and give these very little thumbnail descriptions of those various bad things that happened at Gallo. You don't have to give any more than you've already given. Because each one of those things, those examples that you gave, or the way that workers had to live and work and so forth, apply to Gallo. So if you start off by Gallo at the top, and then mention all those things, you don't have to keep saying Gallo, 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 unless you want to. But because you've already mentioned Gallo, your audience is going to assume that everything you talk about from then on is going to be about Gallo. See? Mm-hmm. They're going to assume that you're talking about what happened to Gallo. And it's true. Everything that happened at Gallo, or at other places, also happened at Gallo.
Do you think it is necessary to mention what happened in Salinas?
No.
No,
I don't think so.
Then on the second part, should we speak more on the PPU or on the service center groups?
Well, you have to lead up to the PPU. by going into the service center goodies first, and then having a discussion about the service center goodies. And then, I would say, then go into the discussion of the PPU and finally ask for their help. But you got to pave the way by a discussion of the goodies.
Instead of saying, I don't know how to refer to them, really. Can we say senior citizens? Do we have to
Do
we have to say older people?
We said, we decided last night, you remember, that it would probably be better if we said older people. Not old people, but older people. It isn't quite as harsh as old people. Unless you're talking to Spanish-speaking people, and then that doesn't seem to make a difference when you say ancianos or personas mayores or whatever. Or, I'll say that the assembly brought, I guess you brought it up, Nancy, that you use senior citizens, that's sort of a term that the middle class uses. And we aren't trying to get the middle class. I think, this isn't much of a criticism, but there was a silence, there was a long silence in there. Well, sometimes, you know, there's a term, pregnant silence, pregnant with all kinds of ideas that are, you know.
Pregnant with celestial fire.
Right. But that kind of silence is okay, but this silence wasn't very pregnant, and with ideas and so on. So you have, when it isn't, you have to move in fast with something else and not let the meeting fall apart. Not that you should. I thought your pace was very good. You kept the thing moving right along. And as I said, this wasn't much of a criticism. You do have to watch it. Not let too many silences come in. Sometimes, you know, sometimes silences can be better than noise. Because you're making a point, you're letting a point sink in, giving it time to sink in before going on to the next one. Just don't let it go too long. Any other criticisms? Okay. Huh?
Very clear.
Yeah.
Very clear.
Yes, she did.
Oh, yes.
It followed very logically in the sequence, one right after the other.
Except for that one time, I don't think she hesitated. She
didn't. Pardon?
Except for that one time, she didn't hesitate.
No, that's right. Okay, Lynn?
I
want to
listen to what.
Just go to the cafeteria and get a big bag.
Okay, do you want to do it, Tina? Then you come on up here, number two, Tina. Helena. Cut it at the end of 10 minutes when you go before the video. or else it's going to drag on and on. Not only that, but it's going to make it, there's a mechanical situation there. There's, on the tapes, usually there's just room for 3 10-minute talks.
How does that video work?
Pardon?
How does that video work? Somebody,
yeah, somebody is photographing you while you're giving, you're making a pitch.
I don't even take a picture of my birthday.
So you can see yourself in action and see the various ways that you can correct your.
That's okay, Lee.
You know, literally all the
give you a ski mask or something.
Get on the floor because he says, you know, I look so, as if my ass, I look so black.
Oh, really?
He doesn't want to show me a lot of time. Do you imagine coming out of a flag or something?
That's
an
afro. What's so afro about
that? They call me Jackson.
Really?
Yes. Why? Well, really? My brother? Yeah. Call me Jackson.
Okay, knock, knock, knock.
Wait a minute, I'm already inspired.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Nobody noticed you.
I know, hold on. I have a problem.
Oh.
In understanding, I guess, you know, we just really haven't discussed that much about the PPU. For me, I just don't feel we've discussed it that much. I don't really understand where we're going with it. And it's a good idea, but to me, it's still a very general thing, and I don't, maybe. We discussed it 2 times, you know, seriously. And I just don't feel, I just still don't really understand it, you know. And so sitting down and spelling 3 people on it, you know, I can do it according to the outline.
Mm-hmm.
I can
forget about the importance of selling people on the PPU and just sell them on the idea of having house meetings.
Oh, just having house meetings.
Right. And you see, there's only actually one thing that you need to know right now about the PPU. And that is that it is a way of getting people together so that we can build, or together with the union, so that we can build enough political power in the community and throughout the whole state, and maybe eventually throughout the country, in order to begin to have an effect on legislation to get better laws and to get better ordinances and local laws in the interests of the old people.
Is this why we're using the example of the CSO then?
Yeah, that's why we're.
That's why we go back to how
right.
that non-citizen legislation was won.
Right.
Because it was a door-to-door campaign of 500,000.
Register the voters and build the political power of the poor people.
Same as we did for 22.
Right, exactly. Matter of fact, you could use that. That's a good idea. In the course of your discussion, you can remind them. Well, that really would come under number one, but you could pick it up in number two, too, in explaining the importance of uniting the older people. When you use the word uniting, I think it's important because it gives the people the idea that we're bringing together hundreds of people who can combine their individual power and go out and register many more hundreds or thousands of people to vote to increase the power of the older people. And so that we can put pressure then on the legislature and on Congress and so forth to get laws that will help us, and to get cooperation from agencies that won't help us right now in the way we need help. See, that's what it all boils down to. In the old days, I think I mentioned that when I was talking about the way it was in the beginning with CSO, they organized a lot of people together and they went down and they tried to get the politicians to help them to. Board of Supervisors and the City Council and the Health Department and the Welfare, and they just kind of laughed at them because they didn't have any power. They didn't have the vote. If you don't have a vote, you don't have the voice. And they just keep you waiting hat in hand. You can go down there by the thousands, you know. If you don't have a vote, you don't have voting power, well, they're not going to pay any attention to you. Like I gave the example of this one politician that really happened. We went down to see him on the Board of Supervisors in L.A. to get something done about the discrimination in one of the public housing projects there. And he kept telling us, well, I'll do something, and I'll do something, and I'll do something. He never did anything. And so finally we went down and we threatened him. He said, look, if you don't get that discrimination out there cleaned up so that the Mexican Americans can get into that public housing authority along with the rest of the people, we're going to vote against you. We're going to vote you out of office. He said, we won't vote for you next time. And he said, well, I sure would like to get your votes, but I couldn't get those votes even if I did go ahead and help you get in the public housing project out there, because you folks just don't vote. You're not even registered to vote. He was that crude about it. To show that how cynical he was, he wasn't going to help anybody unless somebody could help him by voting for him. The Mexicans couldn't help him, so he wasn't going to help them.
I can give you a good example of something like that. Way back in the early 80s, when our parents first came to San Diego County, they were farm workers. And they had no political power, no power at all. But then because they had been organizing a labor union for farm, or all laborers and farm workers, that gave them the idea that they could get together for anything else. So
yeah,
there was a lot of discrimination there. The farm worker children were put in a separate, they were segregated. And because they had learned how to get together, the same men went door to door and organized a boycott on the school, and they boycotted school something like for 2 months. And they kept going back and forth to court, so they finally allowed us to go to school with the white children.
Mm-hmm.
But it just shows that they already knew from organizing in the union that they could do it for something else.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I think that's the main thing, Tina, that you, if you just implant that idea of uniting the older people in order to build political power, both to use locally at the state level and in Washington, you know, to get the things that the old people need. Right now, so many of us are not even registered to vote, so many of us don't vote, and some of us aren't citizens. It's true, some of the people that are, you know, getting pensions aren't citizens. Probably a lot of them.
My mother isn't a citizen.
Right?
She just didn't find any reason.
Yeah. But if they begin to realize, you know, even the older people, I'm not talking about the ones that are way up there in the 70s and 80s, but the ones say between the 60 and 70, it's still not too old for them to become citizens.
So then we should stress to them to become citizens.
That'll be one of the things that hopefully we can get into in a big way. Not only us, but the people that are working in the, you know, because we know how many of the farm workers are not citizens.
We're finding that out because that's one of the questions on the SUA is, are you a citizen? And everybody's no. No matter how many years I've been here, still
sure.
No.
You see, the union has had to build economic power, and also to because there wasn't any political power much among the farm workers, and also to rely on the political power that was already built by CSO, you see, among all those 500,000 and more that they registered all throughout California, all through the barrios of California. Well, those people are still voting, and they're still living, and they're still, you know, behind the union. So they put their power behind the union to help.
Did you put in the whole thing? Well, now you see how the farm workers, even though when Cesar Chavez and Dolores and the people in the union started working with the farm workers, they had nothing. Maybe $1.75 wages. And now through all the work they've done, they've built up to an organization that they're getting $2.50 an hour and the raise goes up every year. They have a contract where all the things that they need are written down and the farm workers know what they can get. And how did they get that power? They got it by working together. They got it by voting power. They got it by a lot of hard work and by people coming to you, like I'm coming to you and saying, what are your problems and how are we going to solve them? Okay? And what did the union get? Well, one thing the union got that doesn't help just farm workers, but that helps everybody. We have a service center. You know, right down the street, we're on Center Street right now, right down the street on First Street, we have a little office,
And I sit in that office sometimes, and, well, Minnie's come in to help once in a while, and other people are there. And what do we do in that office? Well, we help fill out forms, like Social Security forms. We fill out a lot of Social Security forms. We get people in cars, and we take them on down to the Social Security office, and we register them down there. We find good doctors for people who haven't been able to find good doctors who accept medical cards. We found those kind of things. We helped immigrate people in our service center. We have people in the service center. In fact, Polly's in the service center. Do you know? I think Minnie, you know Polly, don't you? She's a short young girl. The things that she knows about immigration. She knows all the forms that you have to fill out. For instance, there came in an old man there last week. He was about, he was a farm worker, but he wasn't working anymore. He was he's about 62 years old, and he wanted to immigrate his daughter, but he was just getting Social Security. Well, he was working in the fields a little bit too. Well, Polly knew all the forms that he had to fill out, starting with the first letter which to send to get the solicitude, to get the application back from the immigration. And then she knew form A, B, C, and D. And she had all those forms filled out, and she had the letter sent away to get all the proper letters of introduction and work letters from this man. And she knew how to do that within an hour. She had all his things filled out. Those are the kinds of things. We translate. I speak some Spanish and some English, and if people have problems with the doctor and they can't speak English, we'll go with them to the doctor. We'll translate for the doctor, for the nurse. We take care of, for farm workers, we help them on disability. And when people get sick, we help them fill out the proper forms so that at least they'll get some money. We help a lot with welfare problems, like with people who can't get to the welfare, or we all know that in the welfare department, some of those people down there just don't really like to listen to old people, to poor people. They're not really interested in the problems we have. Like, who was it? Minnie, you don't know Mrs. Rodriguez, do you? ¿Cómo se llama? Alice. She's white and she's married to Jose Rodriguez. Well, she was having a problem with her mother. Her mother was living with them at the time, and Jose was sick and he wasn't working, and Alice was just working part time, and then with all their kids, and then they had to take care of her sick mother too. Well, what did we do? You know, she first went down to the welfare all by herself with her mother, and the welfare wouldn't even listen to her. She said, "No, ma'am, no, lady, you're working. We can't help you." So she came into the service center, and she talked to me. I was there that day. She talked to me, and we talked about a problem with the welfare worker. Well, we got into the car, and we went right down to the office, and we had to wait in line. We waited in line for a few hours, but finally got to talk to that welfare worker. And we laid the problem out real straight to her. We showed her exactly how much money she was getting, and we showed her in the rule book exactly where the welfare had to help her. And in a 2 weeks' time, that woman had a monthly check coming into her to help her, because she didn't have anybody else. She just had her daughter and her sick son-in-law to help her. So the service center was able to help that person too. Those are the kinds of things we have in the service center. But how did we get the service center? How did we get someone here who could help people with problems like welfare and Social Security? It's because farm workers and Cesar Chavez got together to help, decided that there were problems and that they had to do something about those problems. Well, now the farm workers are doing something about those problems, and we're winning. So what's going to happen to the union now? Well, we're not just going to sit back and say, "Oh, we're winning, isn't that nice?" No, because there's a lot of other people with problems. Like us, right? Old people. Old people have a lot of problems just in getting around, getting to the doctors for an appointment. Or if we don't have a telephone, calling the doctor and telling him you're sick so that you can get over there for an appointment. Or just getting a doctor to know you're sick. A lot of people have the problem that they can't get out of the house to let anybody know they're sick. A lot of old people are just sitting at home and slowly fading away, and maybe they get sick one day. Maybe one day they don't have enough food, but they can't get out to tell anybody, you know. One of the problems with old people is communicating to other people that they have problems, just getting out of the house so that somebody knows they're there. Another problem with old people is that the
But the prices are going way up. How much are beans these days?
Very expensive.
How much did they used to be like a year ago?
Can't afford them anymore.
You can't afford them anymore. But a year ago, they were about half this price, weren't they? But are you getting, a little while ago you mentioned that you were getting a Social Security check. And I just a year ago, the checks are the same as they are now. The checks haven't gone up, have they? The checks are still the same that they were last year, but the beans are going up, and the manteca is going up, and the flour is going up. But the government's not paying any attention to our Social Security checks. The fact that we're not getting any more money to feed ourselves, but the food's going up. You know, old people have that problem too. That, in fact, what they want to do is they want to start cutting Social Security rather than raising it. These are specific problems that old people have. And we in the union, now that farm workers are working to get themselves a better life, realize that other people have to do that too. And the way to do that is first to find out exactly what the problems are. Find out exactly, like, for instance, a lot of times we think we're all alone. Like, you live with your husband, right? He's not dead. You live with your husband, and he can get around some, but I know Mrs. Alice Rodriguez's mother, before she went to live with her daughter, she was living all alone. And there were other people that were living all alone, you know? Or, like, some of us are getting Social Security checks, and we think, well, it's just my problem. I'm the only one who can't make enough. You can't get enough money to buy food. But everybody has that problem, not just you. Everybody has the same problem, that their Social Security check to get smaller, and it gets harder to go out and work in the fields, or it gets harder to go out and find an extra penny to buy those beans that the price is going up so high with. And when all the people who have the same problem get together on that and realize that they're not all by themselves, what can they do about it? Well, one thing that they can do about it is, say we have a problem with Social Security, and I know right here in this town there's at least 300 people who have the same problem with Social Security. I know there's at least that many. What happens if all these 300 people get together and write to the legislature, send a telegram to the state legislature, or to our senator and tell him, hey, Mr. Senator, you know, it's very nice that you're doing all these things for other people, but what about us? We have this problem. And then he says, well, I'm not going to pay any attention to you because, well, you don't vote, or you're not important to me, you can't do anything for me. Well, what happens if all these 300 people, first, we make sure they can vote, they get citizenship. And it's fairly easy to get citizenship if you've been in this country a long time, or if you can, if you know how to read and write. Citizenship isn't a hard thing to get anymore because the farm workers have made sure of that. And then we get people registered to vote. And all of a sudden, in 2 months, all these 300 people can vote. And then they go back to the senator and they say, hi, Mr. Senator, you're not helping us, remember? And he says, well, you can't do anything. And they say, we sure can. We're going to make sure that we don't vote for you in the next election. But it's just not 300 people here in this town of Woodville. It's 300 people in Delano, and 300 old people in Sacramento, because the union just isn't right here in Woodville. The union has a strong organization that can help people. That's the only way we can help farm workers, because we got a strong organization, not just in Woodville and Delano, but where all the lettuce is, in Calexico, in Arizona. We have a strong organization even in New York and Boston. And in all these little places, if people get together, like we're doing right here tonight, and say, we're going to do something about this, and the union says, we're going to help these old people do something, then maybe we can make a change. And that's what I'm here to talk to you about tonight, to find out exactly what kind of problems do we have, do you people have, and how can we solve them today and tomorrow? How can we help to get a little more food in the house? How can we help to get the doctor there quicker? And then after that, then how can we help to make the checks come bigger, and how can we help so that government way up there in Sacramento and Washington, D.C. looks at us, because they're not looking at us now. I think what we should talk about right now are just some kinds of the ways the union can help you right now, today, and tomorrow. Like, Elena, what kinds of things do you think the union should be able to help you in? If the union really wanted to help you, what kinds of things do you think the union can help you in? What kind of problems do you have in it?
I'm having housing problems. This house is falling apart. The sink doesn't work. The bathroom doesn't work all the time. I wish somebody would talk to the man. I just can't afford the man.
Have you been able to talk to the man?
No, do you want to talk to him?
Who wants to talk to you?
I have the same problem. I live in a room and it doesn't even have a kitchen and it doesn't have a toilet. And I pay $30 a month
for a place without even a toilet.
That's true. That's nothing. I pay $30 a week downtown. And he wants me to get rid of my bird.
What?
And I don't want to get rid of my bird.
But why does he want you to do that? Has he said?
He's got complaints.
Complaints about a bird? How big is your bird?
Not very big. I also can't afford to feed him anymore. I need help.
Well, you know what? Talking to landlords sometimes for people like me is fun. Because you know what landlords have a problem with? They think they're big guys. And they think just because they say, if you don't pay me the rent, I'm going to kick you out. But they can't say that to me because I'm from the union. They can't kick me out. But something that the union has in our service center is lawyers. And we know the laws about how a landlord has to treat a person who's living in his house. And we in the union know the laws about the fact that he has to have decent sanitation and the fact that a man who owns a house has to keep the house up for the person who's living in it. The roof can't leak. The doors have to close. The stairs have to work. We know those laws. And the union has lawyers. Well, first of all, the union has me, and we could just walk up to an old landlord and say, hi. And we can show him that we're not afraid of him. And then we can back it up with law books and lawyers. And you know what? Why don't you give me a time when I can just come over to your house and we know the landlord is there and we can talk to him. Do you think it would be all right if I came over tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah.
We could just go over and talk to that landlord and see what he says. And if he wants to bully me around, I can say, that's fine, man. You don't have to talk to me, but I've got lawyers in the service center and we know the laws. We know what we can do about these kind of places. And the same thing goes with other people. I think we should be able to, if I come to see you, can I come to see you about 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon?
Can I invite my friend Mary? She's having the same problem.
Sure. You want to invite your friend Mary? You know, that's
and
a
Tom
very good
the
idea.
And Tom to get rid of his dog. And I think if you could come, maybe all three of us could go with you. I mean, we'll stand behind you.
You know, that's a very good idea. That's what we're talking about, force and numbers. The more people behind you, the landlord starts getting unsettled in his feet and he doesn't know what to do. But if she goes all by himself, he can just be big and bully. But if there's three or four of us, he just kind of sits down and listens after a while. Why don't I come? Let me write that down, because if I don't write it down, I'm going to forget it. 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. I've got your address right here. Thank you. And if you want, should we go talk to you then?